taking so long? What is taking so long? You ever have to wait? We all have to wait. Everybody waits for something. I want you to think about the context of Israel for a minute, waiting for a Messiah. Isaiah put it this way. There will be no room for her who is in anguish. In the former times he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the city, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee, the nations. The people who have walked in darkness, they can see the great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them the light is shown. You've multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as the joy of the harvest. They're glad when they divide their spoils. The yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you've broken the damned day. Every boot of a warrior and battered cloth, and every garment full of blood will be burned as fuel to the fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son has been given. And the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forward. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will be. That was a prophecy concerning the coming Messiah that Israel had waited upon. There's another one that you know, probably know. At Christmas, we read it all the time. It comes from Micah chapter 5. It says, "But you, O Bethlehem, you are too little among the clans. From you shall come forth for me the one that will be the ruler in Israel, whose coming has been from old, from the ancient days." It predicted that, prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And Israel waited and waited and waited. We know that there was a period of what they call the silent years that lasted for 400 years, when the people of Israel didn't hear from no prophet, no priest, no angel, nothing. If you were to get real serious, you could say it wasn't just 400 years. You could go all the way back to the tenth of creation. Because in Genesis 3, in the 15th verse, we find the real first prophecy concerning Christ. It reads like this. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. So technically, it's not just 400 years that Israel has been waiting. The people of God have been waiting for thousands of years. So let me get back to that question. Have you ever had to wait on something? I have at home an Instant Pot. It cooks quick. But when I'm hungry, it's not quick enough. You ever put something in the microwave and have to wait on it? We all do, don't we? Have you ever known that there's a package coming? You keep checking the door if you're using your phone app, you're looking to see if it's been shipped yet, or if it's made its way to your house. All of us wait for something, don't we? 400 years? That's a quite a wait.
When you go back to look at those
pictures, do you have to go to the link?
Yeah, and that's the security.
Yeah, that's the security.
When you go to the church, I wasn't on that side.
Yeah.
Everybody I send it to it seems to go
there.
Oh, really? No, I didn't read to you.
That's good. Yeah, because I've now started texting. I said, hey, I just sent you this.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just wait 5 years instead of 4 years? Why didn't he just come?
I'm surprised they haven't got a spam, though, because it's...
Joel did, Dwight did.
We begin to think that
I told Brian I'd send it to him, and so he kept looking for it. And I realized
it wasn't real. Maybe it was a bad thing.
So I started all day. of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or no, mine went to my inbox.
That comes with hosts.
Good, good, good. Maybe I just have shadier email practice than that.
Or you go get it from OneDrive before or something.
Well, that's true, because I do have OneDrive account, so maybe that makes it
that's
less.
Right.
Maybe, yeah, I bet you that's what.
At least that's what we'll pretend.
Fine with me. Now I'm curious, I wonder if I can access it through OneDrive.
I don't know how it works. I was trying to copy that stuff up the national and copy stalled. So I copied it again and I was waiting
for
tiny. So Brian came over and we couldn't figure anything, but we tried something. Oh, I hadn't signed into OneDrive on my computer. I couldn't sign in. So I used the File Explorer and I finally looked at it, but when I deleted it, it did nothing. It just went away. When he left, I went back up to the computer, turned it off or whatever. I don't know how long after we did that. There's 165 people. It's slow. There's a delay.
So one thing I'm surprised that Microsoft hasn't figured out to be as clean as like Dropbox. It just doesn't.
They build so much into it. It's got so many hooks because OneDrive is just SharePoint.
Yeah.
With a different name.
Right.
And that stuff all ties together so thickly.
Yeah.
I think it's just cumbersome. That's the way I'm sharing it with everybody, that's for sure.
You know what Matthew put it out in Matthew 6 this way? Here's how Jesus was born. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, who was a just man, and he didn't want to put her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. As he considered these things, an angel appeared to Joseph in the dream. He said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she'll bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, or
my dad
or
down Mexico, and Andy,
and all
a couple of his friends went down with him. That's me. He says, we're sitting on the beach drinking apple juice, watching the service. Your apple juice is beer.
For your dad, it's apple juice.
No, it's beer.
Okay. I was thinking somebody drank only apple juice.
Oh, I don't know. That was always dad's joke.
That's a joke.
Joe, that was his apple juice. So I said, hey, grab a loaf of bread. As you guys get to communion with us here soon. I'm going to find a tortilla.
You got to switch to wine for the
Joseph,
community.
I can assure you, as not stated in the text, has some questions. Could you show the video, Eric?
Hey.
she will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Yes, that part. Come.
I want you to think for a minute about what you just watched. They are on their way to Bethlehem. Remember the scripture I read to you from Micah 5. That which will be born will be given the name of Jesus. Every name you will, the kings of God will live in a decree. More than anything, what I want you to see is both of these people would have had reason to not do what they're doing right there. They're headed to Bethlehem. They're going there because all the world is being taxed, and that was where they had to go. Or were they going there because that's where God said in Micah 5 2, the child will be born? Notice how determined they are to get to Bethlehem. Did you hear what Mary said? It seems impossible, but what the angel said to me was, with God, nothing is impossible. I heard what Joseph said. It would have been nice if he would have told me that. But Joseph left it. They are both resolved to go where the angel had told them to go and to do what the angel had told them to do. Why did they do that? I think part of the reason is because she remembered something. I think because Joseph remembered something. Did you hear what Joseph said? God told me. That's not what they remember. What they remember probably was how many times God had told somebody else in the past history of Israel that they knew that God had said to do something. The virgin will conceive and bear a son. What? What was it that caused them to go? They'll give him the name Emmanuel. What was it that pressed them to move forward? What was it that allowed them to believe that from a dream God is speaking to them?
I missed something. Because I gotta say this.
They already knew God had done. I thought you read about the divine.
Wait till the next scripture shows up. It is tiny little thing. I screwed something up and I don't know what.
Has God done impossible things? In God's mind, according to the scriptures, Jesus was never an impossible God. For some of us, maybe it would be. But I want you to remember that Mary's reply to Joseph is very simple. The angel said, nothing's impossible with God. So what do they remember as a young Jewish man and woman? Do you think they really went back to Genesis 11? Genesis 20, where God made a covenant with a man named Abraham and said, Abraham, through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And even though you and your wife are old, you're going to have children, children so many, you're going to be like the stars in the night sky or the pebbles and grains of sand on the seashore. You won't believe how you're going to be blessed and how the world will be blessed through you. Or maybe they went back when Israel, the Hebrew children, that is, were in bondage in Egypt. And God raised up this man called Moses and went down there and did what God did through that man and what he did in order to set the people free. Or maybe they remember the story of God bringing
these
people.
Those look like they're the same size.
Yeah.
Where
and that's small to fit it, but I don't know why that would be small.
I don't know either.
Now, there's these numbers in there that the other ones don't.
It was just so simple as to go back.
3, 4, 1.
A shepherd boy of David.
I don't know why those numbers are. I've never noticed that before.
All we know for sure is that Mary knew what God said. Nothing will be impossible with God.
Where's the baby? When the angel came to Mary, I didn't receive his pardon. Granddaughter. Oh, grandson. Sorry, that's your grandson. Her daughter's son.
I want you to hear the following Mary saying.
On another side of the family, we haven't seen.
by a spirit rejoicing in God.
She came in the other day. It must have been.
He has looked upon the humble of his servant.
She's been
now
here twice.
All generations will come to be blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me. His name is holy. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He shows strength with his arm. He scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought the mighty down to the lows and exalted those of a humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things. The rich he sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Mary sang a song about everything God had done. When the angel spoke and said, that which is born of you will be holy, the Son of the Most High. How can this be? I'm a virgin. Nothing will be impossible with God. You know how God looks at our human impossibilities? He sees our human impossibilities as divine opportunities. Do you know that? When Jesus saw a blind man, he didn't see a problem. When Lazarus died and Mary and Martha are crying their eyes out, the whole city comes and Jesus shows up, death was not a problem. When Jesus arrived at the widow at Nain's house, and lo and behold, her son, her only son, who she was dependent upon, had died. For Jesus, that was a can-do situation. But now you have to jump with me. Where it ties to us. In the book of Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are walking down by a temple gate called Beautiful, and they see a man there who's lame from his youth, and he's begging for alms. You know what Peter saw? Before the resurrection, Peter would have seen the human impossibility. As he looked at this man that day, he said, I've got nothing of this earth to give you, but what I do have, I will give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter, acting by faith in the face of a given impossibility, saw God take that divine opportunity and do something out of this world. For you and me, it seems like sight for the blind and raising the dead back to life, giving legs to the lame. Those are impossibilities. But to God, when he sees those circumstances, they are opportunities. And when you and I see the problems of our life and the impossibles of our life, usually when we're faced with the impossible, we think that way is the impossible, but we fail to remember that God's opportunity is in the impossible. And just like he invited Mary and Joseph to go with him into the impossible, I believe he invites you and I to walk into the impossible. I believe he gave the impossible as an invitation to us to step out by faith and to see him work. Sometimes we get so worked up about how long it takes. Sometimes we ask the question, why does he take so long? No. When that angel spoke to Mary, in due time, you're going to see what I'll do with this situation. When he spoke to Joseph, same thing. You have no idea how incredibly special Mary said he's talking about. You are to be invited into what appears to be humanly impossible with the knowledge or the hope of the divine possible. Mary and Joseph, step into the situation with me. Joel, step into the situation with me. We don't usually step in, even if our eyes are wide open, with our hearts fully given to it, because we see how difficult circumstances can be. You know what the day is? We lit that candle, and lo and behold, it's still burning, barely. We lit that candle because it's the first time for us to reflect on the coming of Jesus to the earth. It's been a time to remember he came to renew everything. Every week we pray, we didn't do it today, but we pray and say, I came to come to this in heaven. This is a season to remember that that's what Jesus came to do. He came to renew. He came to put things right, to make the high places low, the low places high, the crooked places straight, to put everything back. We sometimes miss that it's also a time to look forward to the second coming of Jesus. To look forward to that kingdom that you pray about. If you were doing the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, here's what you read. I want you just to listen as I read it to you. To know that, you know, the notion of the second become almost impossible with us because it's taken so long. 400 years they waited for Micah 5:2 to be fulfilled. God didn't speak. God didn't send any more angels. It was silent. And I know that for some of us here today, in the midst of life, we would love for Jesus to come and make the high places low, the low places high, the perfect places straight, and for his justice. But we wait, and it suddenly begins to feel like an impossibility. Listen to Matthew 24, Jesus speaking. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall out of heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then will appear in the heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn and will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He'll send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. He'll gather his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn this lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know summer's here. So also when you see these things, you know that he didn't. In fact, it's the very case. I say this generation won't pass away until these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Concerning that day and that hour, no one knows that. Not even the angels of heaven. Not even the Son. But only the Father.
Do it again.
For as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage until the day of Noah had eaten the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them away. So it will be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Still coming out.
Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding in the field, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, Jesus says, stay awake. You don't know when the day of the Lord's going to come, but know this. The master of the house had known what part of the night he would come in. He would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. He said it's going to happen. Yes, it's been over 2,000 years, but he said it was going to happen. Does it feel like it's impossible? Perhaps it does to you. But nothing will be impossible with God. We learned that lesson. You know, Jesus, after he lived his life at 33 years of age, he's crucified, he is buried, he's resurrected. And then he ascends to heaven. And on the day that Jesus ascended to heaven, I want to tell you what this angel said to hear his ascension to heaven. The angel said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, stop for a minute. This Jesus.
It doesn't have a number on it.
Not a spiritual Jesus. Not some other Messiah. This same Jesus that you see going up into heaven will come in the same way as you see him going right now. That's what the angel said. He's going to come back.
The numbers on the key pages for the same verse. So.
And it just seems like we know everything. Another way to think so, not connecting with us right now. Here's my favorite passage of scripture. I'm going to read it to you in the message. It'll be on the screen. Regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those who are already dead and buried, we don't want you in the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on our event like people who have nothing to look forward to. That is to say, people that have no hope. As if the grave were the last word. Since Jesus died and were loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who have died in Jesus. And then this, we can tell you with complete confidence, we've got the Master's word on it. When the Master comes again to get us, I'll stop. Did you hear that? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again for you and receive you to myself, that where I am, you can be. Listen, church, I want you to understand the early church knew for a certainty that Jesus was coming back for us. It didn't seem like an impossibility at all. It didn't seem like an impossibility to Peter after the resurrection. It seemed as certain as my shirt is black and the day is long. We can tell you with confidence, we've got the Master's word on it. When he comes back to get us, those of us who are still alive, we're not going to jump on the dead and leave them behind. In actual fact, they'll go ahead of us. The Master will give a command. Archangel thunder. God's trumpet blast. He'll come down from heaven. The dead in Christ will rise first. They will go first. And then we who are alive will remain. At the time we caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Master, we'll be walking on air, and then there will be one huge family reunion with the Master. Reassure each other with these words. Can I tell you the truth about something? We've been waiting a long time for those promises to come out. And we can get in a position where we think it must be impossible. The truth is, they were waiting for hundreds of years for his first coming. In fact, they waited thousands of years if you count in Genesis 3:15. But here's why they waited. Or here's one of the things that happens when they waited. And I've got three slides I'll show you very quickly right here. Divine delay makes for human dismay. Let me stop and take what I mean by that. We're human. We get discouraged. We look at the situation. Things can't even get any worse than this. You know what is about to tell you? I know I'm late here. I'll tell you. You know, I've got that little tent on the wheels out there in my house, a little RV, you know. I got that baby already with the water, you know. You pour all the water on them. You definitely get out. You pour in the antifreeze into it. You pump it through the system. That way, none of the lines freeze. You know, that thing's got its own sanitary system on it. I'm trying to say this nicely. You know what Pastor Joel forgot to do? God reminded him it's 26 degrees out there. This is impossible. And today, what I mean, you are going to go home and deal with that. We can get so dismayed by the impossible of this life, can't we? And with us, we didn't see that delay in his name. Jesus is in our lives. The second coming has been a long time coming. Has it? The early church, they thought it was happening tomorrow. They sold their property and spread it out with each other. They took care of each other because they knew that any day now, he was coming. We're going to stop and talk about this Bible. There's a pain in waiting. I don't have to go that far. I'll take a little over here. You know what things this is made to make us feel hopeless? What the place in Israel on 27th. Turn the TV and see the war in Russia. When you look at the news and find out that people that had a hurricane a little while back are still not back in their houses and they're in this economy. You recognize that in the land of the free and the public great, where the assassination attacks on our president and the candidate in the last few years, you know that the world has all the deaths of children under the age of five are caused by hunger. Fear is not the case of learning the cause of cancer. Maybe you live through World War I. We had a service this week for $50, and he was like, the tail end of World War II, or maybe Texas at the time. You know, in the last couple of years here, we've lost a number of those little guys, and now you're thinking you're dead gone. Live through World War II. Went through Vietnam, maybe. Went through Korea. And so this pain of waiting for the high places to be made low and the perfect places to be made straight, it really does hurt. Sometimes waiting can be painful. And we can become just like the people who are waiting for Jesus to come at this time. And we can be difficult to win ourselves. And maybe just maybe. Maybe it's gotten so bad when you can be powerless amongst us that we don't deserve a comeback. Or maybe there's just too much of your hope to pull this off. And all of that hopelessness, rewards and hunger and sickness and cancer and waiting and waiting and waiting, it leads us to a place of hopelessness. And that hopelessness the place is impossible. But we learned something today, all things are possible. Can you say that with God? All things are possible. So the second coming of Jesus, which some may think is an impossibility, that word to Mary, where she has a question, how am I going to be a virgin? She was saying, do I want to respond to the invitation? Is it what I'm doing? Mary, I'm about to be impossible. I've chosen the best of all the people to call the Son of God and get there. You're a virgin. How can this be? When it seemed like the fever may have come to a complete end under the hand of a terrible Pharaoh, God raised it from Moses. That even when the evil in the world became so bad that only some people on Mars got to survive, God still fulfilled. When David stood before that giant, it's just a shepherd boy with his stones. Impossible. It's all the same time. So today, in the closing part, I want to say, God, all this is possible.
Is that our teacher? Alright, please come up.
When Jesus died, and they took him off that cross, and they placed him in the tomb, and by all accounts, she was no different than everybody who was laying in the cemetery here in town. Everybody in the midst of hell knew that no one. Jesus' resurrection, you and I have hope. Not just hope in what he's done, not just hope in what he did in his resurrection, but the hope in what he's going to do with his return. And everything is set right. Meanwhile, we'll take a few times. But when we're doing what God, church, I'm going to invite Travis up. We do have communion that has been prepared. We are not going to go through the communion ritual. Your pastor will pray on the communion, and we will share it with you. I'm going to ask you, if you're able to come forward to right here in a moment, and Travis and I will serve you, and we will actually take your cup and place it back in the holder. If you're not able to come forward,
this is not working fast enough for me. I should plan this.
They are sharing that together. Thank you.
Forget it. Forget it. Not even worth the time.
Evie, you come off me. Evie, let's go to communion. Come on.
What?
We're going to go to communion.
And all three of them.
Oh,
one more. One more.
Thank you.